Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. I am so thankful to be here with you. I wasn't sure, like some of you were mentioning yesterday, what it's going to look like today, but I'm thankful to be here. If you would ask me my favorite verse, I'd have a hard time, but I think I would narrow it down to three verses. And if you would ask my wife what my favorite verse is, or what my verses that I try to live by, I think she would be able to tell me. Should I call her up front and see if she can say it? She's saying no. When we were very young, we went to SMBI for 6 weeks. The year was 1994, January, so that's what, a long time ago. But we were newly committed to the Lord at that stage in our lives. We were married a few years, and we had both made deeper commitments to the Lord, and I can't put into words what those 6 weeks did for us. We were so ripe for the Word of God, and I still relish those days of just every single day taking in God's Word. At the end of the 6 weeks, they put two magazines together, booklets, and one is the picture of everybody, and I would have loved to put those pictures on the screens, but I'm not sure. We'd have to pray for our marriage. No, it's just interesting to look back at pictures. Then there's another book called Reflections, and that book I treasure actually even more so than the pictures. Reflections is just little quotes that people made throughout the 6 weeks. And those 6 weeks, you really make really good and close friends. And then the thing to do is get your friends to just do a little autograph or sign them and so on. And recently I looked at mine and I was looking at what some of the people wrote. It's so interesting. There was one young man, and here's what he wrote. He wrote his name, and then he wrote Genesis 12, 1-3. And I remember looking at that, and at that point I couldn't have told you what Genesis 12, 1-3 was or said. But I read it, and I reread it, and I actually thought, what are you saying? And it's almost like a light bulb came on in my mind, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that God used him at that stage in my life to just speak those three verses. All he had was the reference. And if I would summarize those three verses, it's, I am blessed, I will be a blessing, and all the world, or the desire to be a blessing, will have worldwide ripples. Now, I'd like to read to you Genesis 12, 1-3. And that's what I'd like to share this morning. And this, we're dropping in what I call a very pivotal part of the book of Genesis. And when I look at a book in the Bible, it's so good for me just to have a broad view of what it is. So my simplistic approach to the book of Genesis, it has four great events and then four great men, or four key events and four key men. The four key events being creation, or if you use Answers in Genesis, they use the C's, creation, corruption, condemnation, and confusion. In other words, creation, the fall of man, and then judgment, and then the Tower of Babel, or the creation of nations, the dispersal. That's four key events, very important, in your worldview. How you interpret those four events says so much how you think about life. And then it's a pivotal part, and it focuses on four men. You know who they are. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. That's the book of Genesis. So I think we're at a very pivotal point in the book of Genesis right here, between Genesis 11 and 12. And I'd like to read the verses to you. I'm telling you, they have become so precious to me, and I'm going to try to just unpack that in the next few minutes, what these verses really mean to me personally. God said, now the Lord said unto Abram, get out of thy country, from thy kindred, from your father's house, unto a land which I show you, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee, or because of you, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And then I have to include verse 4, at least the first three words. So Abraham departed as the Lord spoken unto him. And like instant obedience, the Lord, Abraham puts into action. I recently heard of a small rural church in Tennessee. They heard about a village in East Africa. The year was 2006, so it's, 20 years ago? This little church heard about a need, and this need was intense. The people had to walk miles for water, and the water was contaminated. So the church in Tennessee wasn't a wealthy church. A lot of them, basically farmers, mechanics, school teachers, and they decided to get together. Hey, let's see what we can do. I know they happened to hear about it. I don't know how the Lord pressed the specific need on their heart, but they said, let's do what we can. And the story goes on to say how children would dig into their piggy banks and old folks that were set on their fixed incomes gave sacrificially. And it took about 3 months, and they actually raised enough of money from a little church in Tennessee to drill a well in East Africa. And the well was completed, and clean water flowed, and the rest of the story goes on to make a beautiful picture of what a little group of people did for another group of people. And that kind of coincides exactly what we were talking about in Sunday school this morning. How do we respond to the needs that we hear about and the need that we care? The local pastor in East Africa wrote a letter back to the little church in Tennessee and said, you didn't only give us water, you gave us life. Anyway, I use that story that I just heard about to say God blesses, so why? So we can be a blessing. Now, actually, I forgot one thing that I was going to do right up front. The my first line of the sermon was going to be this. I wonder what you would say on a scale of 1 to 10. The question is, how much have you been blessed? Okay? 10 is, I've been blessed beyond measure. 1, it's tough. Life's rough. I'm going to have the guts to make everyone raise their hand, okay? You don't have to tell me where you are. All you have to do is divide you in two groups. How many of you would be below 5, okay? Below 5. I want to see your hands. I'll do it real quick, okay? How many of you above 5? I want to see your hands. Okay, thank you. That's my point. You're blessed. And the follow-up question, if we would be in a Bible school setting where we do homework, where we think through, that would be the class for the day. And then the assignment for the following day that you wrestle through at night, which, by the way, Tarina wrestles every night with her homework, and she's been contacting me, and, Dad, what do you think about this? And I'm saying, oh, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. I was sitting back in SMBI in 1994 wrestling through the exact same questions, and I'm not going to tell you wrestle for a while. then I'd give her a little bit of a little snippet of what I think. Here would be the assignment. The assignment, okay, so you're blessed that you all raised your hand. Why? That's your assignment. Why? And that's what I want you to wrestle. That's where I want the tension to be this morning. I think I have met few people. Well, sometimes you talk to people and you wonder if they do believe they're blessed. Everything's bad. Everybody's bad. And it's like there is joy in the Christian life despite problems. Why are you blessed? Why am I blessed? I want to go through, so what I just read, I want to make 7 statements. And this is going from kind of switching. We could park on the call, Abraham's call. It was a call to a life of faith. And that would be another subject that would merit a lot of attention. A call to a life of faith. And the reason this has become so personal to me is because I really believe in Abraham, every believer will find a parallel. In fact, Abraham is used more than any other individual. I should maybe did a little bit of, he's used often, I should say, as a parallel to the Christian life, often. Go through Romans, Abraham. Go to the book of James, Abraham. And he's staggered throughout so many of the other New Testament writings as a parallel to the Christian life. So this is, you have the call of Abraham, a call to a life of faith. And then this is the covenant, if you will. So this is called the Abrahamic covenant. And let's just clearly identify 7 points, and they're key, and I'm not going to try to unpack them. Number one, I will make you a great nation, or of thee a great nation. Okay? That was a covenant. Number two, I will bless you. Number three, I will make thy name great. And you know what's really ironic? Do you know what Genesis 11 is all about? Genesis 11 is the Tower of Babel. And they were the ones that said they want to make their name great. And now the failure of Genesis 11 and then the dispersal, creation of nations, now you have Genesis 12 and you have God saying, hey, Abraham, I am going to make your name great. That's interesting comparing to battle. Number four, thou shalt be a blessing. Number five, I'm going to bless those that bless you. Number six, I'm going to curse those that curse you. Number seven, this blessing is going to go to all the families of the earth. That's more than I can take in. All the families of the earth, every ethnic group, every tribe, every nation is going to be blessed through you because I'm blessing you. Shall be blessed. Now, don't forget, in the very same chapter, I don't have time to go into his story, but in the very same chapter, he gets to where he was supposed to go. I mean, sometimes I imagine Abraham's like, wow, okay, next morning he gets up. But in that time, he says, hey, honey, we're leaving. Where? I don't know. Pack your bags. And by the way, Abraham and Sarah's marriage is lifted up as an icon in Ephesians 5. But I'm trying to imagine what it actually looked like. Up the Fertile Crescent they go, and they get to where they're supposed to go. And guess what? There's people there that they didn't really expect to be there. And number two, there was a famine. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to bless you? Sometimes I need to reevaluate what blessing really does mean. God says, I will bless you. Same, just a couple verses later, famine. Oh, bless? Yes. And I really believe that in this covenant, we tend to forget the bottom line. We get that phrase, right? We get the bottom line. I ask it all the time. I'm talking to somebody and they're trying to sell something. I say, what's the bottom line? I mean, do you get irritated? It's advertised for you so much, and then it's like times 25% till you get to the bottom line. In this blessing, I think we tend to forget the bottom line. What's the bottom line? And that's where I would go back to the homework. Blessed? Yes. Why? Bottom line. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I'm convinced the Jews forgot it. If you're taking notes, just jot down Acts 3, 25 to 26. That was a sermon, Peter's sermon. He had to remind them of the bottom line. Why are you blessed? Why is this nation so blessed? Now the Messiah has come. The Messiah came through you. That's the channel. You're the channel of a blessing. Why? So all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So I believe Christians in general fail to appreciate that Paul and the other apostles really point to the bottom line. And I'm convinced that, listen carefully, I want you to get this quote. I don't think this is original with me. I am convinced that the bottom line is what makes Christianity work. I'll say it again. I'm convinced that the bottom line is what makes Christianity work. You may know Christians that it just isn't working. It just seems everything's going wrong. And the Christianity that is supposed to have power and have salt and earth, salt of the earth, light of the world effect, it just isn't working. I am convinced that the bottom line of this blessing is what makes Christianity work. Simply put, it is focused on others. It was far focused beyond just God and his salvation. It was a burden for the families of the earth. I'm telling you, Charles Spurgeon once said this. I don't know if I quite like the way he said it, but he says, if you came to Christ just for just to go to heaven and escape hell, you will surely go to hell. I don't know if I agree with that. Okay, that's strong. But I get his point. I get where he's aiming at. It's the bottom line. If it's just for me and myself and my, then it's probably not going to work. It's not going to have the power. But the bottom line is what I want to emphasize this morning. If you want to quickly turn to a psalm, the psalm that I have really grown to appreciate is Psalm 67. And you can either listen or turn to it. Psalm 67, it says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and make his cause his face to shine upon us. Did you get that? Verse 1, God be merciful to us. Bless us. It's like a group of people asking for a blessing. Is that okay? I got a question. Do you normally ask God for a blessing? Or is that kind of, God, bless me. You know what? I believe God wants to bless you more than you want even know how to ask. I really do. But then verse 2, why? We're coming back to why. That thy way may be known upon earth, that salvation or saving health be among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Let the nations be glad, sing for joy. Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations. Let the people praise thee. Let all the people praise thee. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God our God shall bless us. Now we're back to the blessing. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. That is more than I can take in. That's pretty exciting. It kind of sounds selfish, right? Bless me. We as a church, bless us, bless us. Why? If we latch on to so that your way can be made known unto all the earth. I mean, you can go up to Mount Carmel with Elijah and his request, and he says that these people may know. And I think that is one of the reasons that maybe you and I don't experience the blessings of God like maybe we think we should, because we don't know what we're looking for. We narrow God's blessings to material things. That may be a blessing. Actually, sometimes it can actually be a curse. But according to God, when his people were coming into a land of plenty, he clearly warned them. So, my point is, we're blessed to be a blessing. That's probably the title of the message. You are blessed to be a blessing. We are so blessed. Why? To be a blessing. And then the side effect is going to be, or the ripple effect is, that will have ripple effects to the entire world, believe it or not. That's amazing. However, God has you instrumental in a world, global scene. Just simply you knowing you're blessed, choosing to be a blessing, that alone is going to, I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, have global effects to whatever God might flesh that out. So, sometimes we sing the song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Have you ever stopped to do that? I know we do that at Thanksgiving sometimes. Thanksgiving services. Okay, start naming out things you're thankful for. But did you ever stop and just write down some of the things you're really thankful for? This would be an exhaustive list. I mean, it would be impossible to have an exhaustive list. But I wrote down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And I'll just share them with you. Some things that I'm really, really thankful for, and I am calling them blessings that point to the bottom line. Okay? Blessings that point to the bottom line. So we can be channels of blessing. Number one, I am so grateful for the freedom to worship. I am so grateful. I could easily spend 5 minutes on each of these points. I'm just going to state them. I'm so grateful for the freedom to worship. You look at worldwide persecution. You look at some of the stories. I'm so grateful. Secondly, I am so grateful for education. Even though I would have longed for more education, I tell my children that are in education, I say, I would pay. You have no idea what I would pay for more emphasis on education. And all you need to do is step into an illiterate society that cannot read, and then you'll know. I am so grateful. I'm told about 1/3 of the world cannot read. Please, children, value education. I am so grateful. You know why? I didn't see it. I had no idea what God had for me when I was a teenager or younger. I had no idea. But when you're in the middle of service and you wish you're trying to write a letter to a government official to get access to a building, this is a true story. Man, I wish I knew a little bit more, had a little more emphasis on education. I am so blessed to be able to pick up a book and read. Value education. Third, wealth. You've heard statistics, right? What makes a wealthy person? Now, remember, we're taking the 7 billion plus people in the world in scope. Now, if I just compare to Bill Gates and a couple people like that, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about the 7 billion people in the world. And you read books like that, and you know the statistics. We're an extremely wealthy. We're blessed. We're extremely blessed. Freedom to worship, education, and wealth, or resources, I should say. Fourth, currency. You may have never thanked God for the currency. Do you know that you could take the American dollar and probably go anywhere in the world and pay for a bill? I'm just learning that as long as it doesn't have a mark or a tear. Literally, you go into a lot of the other countries, if it has a little mark or a little tear, and I still don't know why, but my point is the currency will pretty much be gladly accepted anywhere. Remember, I tried to list down the blessing, the ways I'm blessed to be a blessing. Language. Do you know that the English language is the most sought-out language of the entire world? You can probably go anywhere, if you have a degree to teach English, you could probably go get access to any country in the world. Maybe a few might give you a little bit of trouble, but there are so many people that are trying really, really, really hard to learn English. It's the trade language of the world. There's a strong desire to learn English. And remember why I'm going through these. These may not be the blessings that you think of, but this is my own personal homework on the subject of I am blessed, how am I blessed, and why am I blessed? Freedom to worship is a blessing. Education is a blessing. Resources or wealth is a blessing. Currency is a blessing. Language is a blessing. Most of you could get an American passport, a U.S. passport. That would probably get you anywhere in the world again. I know personally a mother who wanted to attend a wedding of her son and couldn't attend because she didn't have the right passport, couldn't obtain it. And so many people are locked into so small boundaries. Another blessing is families. I am so thankful that I had a father and a mother and siblings. Although the family thing is breaking down, and I'm also another thing I'm skimming over is I'll get there. That's a tremendous value, families, the family, the structure of the family. I'm just so thankful, so blessed. And you live in a culture where that you don't see that, then you'll understand what the blessing of a family is. And my last point is, I am so blessed for the theology, simple theology that I've been taught and given. And this is where I'm going to break down a few sub-points. And this is what I would call Anabaptist values. And at the core of Anabaptist theology, you're going to find these several points. And you could ask the question, have the Anabaptists strayed? Ooh, you be the judge, okay? Do we need revival? You be the judge. But at the core of Anabaptist values, you're going to find a faith that works. I've been taught that. I've been taught you have a faith in Christ, and that fleshes out. That's our Sunday school lesson. A faith that works. You take the Bible at face value. And by the way, these points right here is not the norm in even a broad view of evangelical Christianity. It's not the norm. Faith that works, taking the Bible at face value. We do our very best to read the Bible and then have a practice that comes from the Bible. The problem is I believe our early Anabaptists did an excellent job of reading the Bible and say, this is how we're going to live it out. And then fast forward 500 years, sometimes that lifestyle becomes the Bible, if you know what I mean. That lifestyle is the Bible, and you can't go back to the actual principle and so on. I'm just so thankful that I was taught a theology that, do you take the Bible at face value? I was taught an Anabaptist theology. You follow Jesus Christ. He's the pattern. You follow him in all of life. I've been taught that I don't like the term non-resistance, actually, because it kind of implies that you want to resist, but you can't. That suffering love, a love that suffers, a love that just absorbs. I've been taught. Anabaptist values teach that. I believe the Bible teaches this. I'm so blessed. Remember, don't forget the framework of why I'm sharing this. I am trying to unpack how much I've been blessed. And this is on the point of a theology, a teaching of the Bible, an understanding of God. So suffering love or non-resistance. I've been taught discipleship, accountability. It matters. I can't just have this idea of me and God and forget everyone else. Anabaptism kind of has the idea of we come to God together. And how I treat my brother, it's the body that Paul referred to so many times, the analogy of the body. That's the connection. The head is attached to the foot. That's the body. That's the believers, the priesthood of believers. And go back into Anabaptist history and you'll see some of the tension back in the 1500s and so on. But I am just so grateful for the discipleship and accountability that is woven into our theology. It's a fairly conservative theology in that Jesus is the only way. By the way, that is really under attack. There's a lot of different ways. It's kind of, no. Upon no other foundation will I build, Menno Simons was his favorite verse. So, and maybe things like modesty, traditional headship roles, and servant leadership. Have the Anabaptists strayed from this? You be the judge. Does Anabaptism need revival? You be the judge. I'm telling you what, I am so blessed. I'm blessed. We're blessed. Why? To be a blessing. And the blessing will have worldwide ripples. Don't ever doubt that. I had the privilege of being involved in the first about 10 years of Institute for Global Opportunities, known as IGO. And I remember some of the statements that I heard. One of the teams that went to Nepal, I forget which year this was, there was a pastor from Nepal wrote back to Igo, and here's what he said. "We were so encouraged to see your people here in Nepal. Specifically, I encourage very, it's a little broken English. I encourage very much to see students. Your students are good. Your students have good behavior, respect from heart. Other ladies, no, about ladies, they are angels." I don't like that. "They are angels from heaven. Our ladies encourage from them. As Americans, they are an example in the world. God bless them. I am so excited to see them." He goes on and on and on what he saw. And what he saw is some of the values. And then he says, "I want to come to Chiang Mai to see and hear some of teaching." And then another, if you heard the name Pastor Kiat, I'm curious, does anybody remember when Pastor Kiat was at Myerstown on a Sunday morning? Probably not. He stayed at our house, and he was at Myerstown on a Sunday morning, shared a devotional. But he's one of the local Thai pastors in Chiang Mai. But in the early days of IGO, I actually have a letter from him, and it's actually written by Val. But he talks about how Pastor Kiat wants to make a trip to America because he wants to see the churches where these students are coming from. He wants to figure this out, and he wants to get this in all of Thailand. And some of those on the Thailand IGO board were going, "Ooh." In other words, what would he see? I had a Muslim in my living room. This is no joke. I had a Muslim in my living room, and he told me this. I was trying to think who all was there. He said, "You know what I see when I see America Christianity? I see two things. I see short skirts and big guns. That is American Christianity to me." That's sad. So what I'm doing is I'm maybe painting a picture of the broad picture that the evangelical church is painting throughout the world. Enter Hollywood with all of that, and it is a very distorted picture. Why am I saying all this? I'm back to the simple concept of I am blessed. I listed some of the ways. The last one, I am so blessed, is a theology. And I just want to spend my life in absorbing and continuing to ask for blessing, but ultimately being a blessing. And I am convinced that when we enter into that together, it will have worldwide ripples. How can we be a blessing? We can be a blessing through generosity. We may not drill a well in Africa, but there are ways that you can be a tremendous blessing. You can be a blessing just through encouragement. The power of a spoken word is incredibly impactful. You can be a blessing through hospitality. You can be a blessing through prayer. And you can be a blessing. How was Abraham a blessing? Chapter 12, Genesis 12, 1 to 3, verse 4. If you would choose one word to unpack verse 4, where he heard and he did it. Obedience. And that's pretty much what marks Abraham's life. There was a couple glitches, like in all of our stories, but you can be a tremendous blessing through obedience. So, all that to encourage you one more time. You are blessed. You are blessed beyond measure. Why are you blessed? Why are we blessed? To be a blessing. To be a blessing. And don't ever doubt it. Don't ever doubt it. If you have been blessed and have got the blessing mentality, those ripples will be global. That was a covenant that God made to Abraham, and I think we can claim it today. So God bless you as you know you're blessed and you are choosing to be a blessing. Let's all stand.